slaan die pad op Groot FM 90.5.
Dire Straits came out of nowhere when the debut album was released in 1978. They had formed only 1 year before and hadn't geeked much before they recorded a demo tape that caught the attention of record company executives. There were immediate hits, especially with the rock radio, which embraced their clean guitar-based sound. Frontman Mark Knopfler led them to the top of the charts in 1985 with Brothers in Arms, one of the decade's biggest sellers.
Way on down south, way on down south, London town.
They made only one more album after that before calling it quits in 1995. With more than 120 million albums sold worldwide, Dire Straits has taken the world by storm with their very unique sound and combinations of instruments. Now, Dire Straits members Chris Whitten on drums, Chris White, Dire Straits saxophone, and with the new vocals Terence Rage, the Dire Straits experience is in South Africa for one night only on Tuesday evening at 7:30 at the Sun Arena Times Square. And here in the studio this afternoon to tell us a little bit more, please welcome Chris Whitten, Chris White, and Terence Rage.
Oh my goodness.
I cannot believe this. They are in studio.
Yes. How you doing?
Hello.
I'm just trying to pinch myself, having these legends in studio with me at the moment. Oh my goodness, how's the guys doing?
Great.
We're good, yes. Good, yes. Thank you. Yes, good to be here.
Welcome to South Africa.
Yeah, it's an enormous surprise. Really is a surprise. A lot of luck went into it, and Andy Mack here did an awful lot to get us here as well. So.
Wow. When did you guys arrive?
About 24 hours ago, I think.
Right. Okay. Have you time to tour around, look around?
No.
Okay, busy with
no, we've been busy doing these things, but it's great to be. It's a sunny day, so
yeah,
very happy.
Yeah, and enjoying South Africa in general.
Yeah,
we've been treated unbelievably well.
Yes,
and our crew have spent most of the time in the swimming pool, as we could see them out the windows of the hotel.
But you guys just recently came from Israel, is that right? I think it was about 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago that you
We did three shows in Israel.
Yeah,
which were great. I think that was our third or fourth time there.
Yeah. Took a little bit of time off, and now you're back in South Africa. And from now on, for the rest of the year, it's quite busy for you guys as well. Yeah.
Yep.
It is. We're full on until the start of December, when we're definitely not full on.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Awesome. We're going to be taking a break weekly, and then we'll be back just now. Nou gaan ons gesels oor die Dire Straits experience. Daar's so baie dinge wat ek nie kan wag môre aan. Dit gaan ongelooflik lekker wees. I'm really freaking out at this moment in time with these legends with me in the studio.
Hoor jy hoe stil is ek?
So we're going to be talking about that, the Dire Straits experience, and our kaartjies. Daar's nie meer baie kaartjies beskikbaar nie. There's very little tickets available, so you need to get those tickets ASAP. I'll give you the details right after this.
Slutty Pod. Wees my daar tussen 3 en 6 op Groot FM 90.5.
21 minute en half 4, as jy dit ingeskakel het. Mense, ek sit met die manne, hulle selfies van die Dire Straits experience. Chris White, Chris Whitten, and also Terence Rage. Did I say that it was Rage, eh?
Rage, yeah. Yeah, you did.
Actually, because when I first saw it, I wanted to say Reese, but then I heard it. It's spelled sort of Reese. R-E-I-S.
Yeah, it's Portuguese. So it just means kings. Yeah, it's just a word, yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah. I've got the pronunciations, at least I've got that right for today. But anyway, listen, let's get to because Chris, I want to ask you about the original Live Aid show. We have to get to that because I think that must have been incredible for you guys.
It was an amazing day, an amazing event to be involved with. We were on tour, Dire Straits were on tour. It was the Brothers in Arms tour.
Yes.
I don't know, we were maybe about halfway through. And actually, that week, I mean, that was July the 13th, 1985, yes. And that week, we were in the middle of a run of 13 shows in Wembley Arena, which is kind of across the car park from the stadium.
What?
So for us, it was one day we went in early, and we went to the stadium instead and did this amazing thing. Which was amazing, and we were on just before Queen, as people know now, because of the movie.
Yes, yeah.
And then we went back across the car park to the arena and started our own show that night. And as people finished at Live Aid, they were coming across, so we had tons of really famous guests up with us that night, which was very, very, very
crazy.
Yeah.
But you've also worked with a lot of huge names. I mean, I think one of the guys that probably stands out the most is Paul McCartney, if I'm correct. Is that one of the guys?
I've worked with Paul. I worked with Paul before. I worked with Dire Straits on a movie he was making. Actually, Chris Whitten there.
We've all worked with Paul.
Spent a long time Paul's drummer.
I toured with Paul. A couple of albums I toured. Chris had done the film before that. And then Chris played on the same album that I played on.
Yeah, that was in
as well.
Yes, that's amazing to say. Can you imagine if you can say, listen, I work with Paul. Well, I can at least say.
You can say you interviewed Dire Straits, man.
Dire Straits experience, the guys were here in the studio with me. I mean, they start with that. That's also.
I just got to tell you quickly that I was working with a little clubby band, not very successful. And I got home Friday evening at like 10 o'clock at night and hit the answer machine before the internet and all that. Hit the answer machine. Hello, it's Mandy from Paul McCartney's office. Can you give us a call back?
What?
But it was Friday at 10 o'clock and I had to wait until Monday. So it was nightmare.
What a killer. Yes, I can imagine. I mean, I would just sleep myself do something to get myself to sleep right through that time.
Yeah,
that's amazing. The biggest moment for each of you guys, I mean, you've had such a long career now and such an amazing career, toured the world, have done pretty much everything, but what would you say is your one biggest moment in your music career? If I can start there.
Okay, me. Oh, well, I mean, it had to be the McCartney stuff, really, because he hadn't toured for 10 years and it was the first time he'd played a lot of the Beatles songs. And when we played in LA, Stevie Wonder was there, Jack Nicholson. Yeah, it was just incredible. Wow. And then like a year and a half later, I was on tour with Dire Straits and John Ilsley came up to me after one of the shows and said, are you nervous about tonight? And I was just being genuinely friendly and said, oh, maybe I should be nervous about tonight. And then I thought afterwards, hang on a minute, I was playing to 80,000 people in the same town a few months ago.
Wow.
So go on then, Chris, you say what your favourite was.
Well, Live Aid was a really big point. And there was also, there was a concert for Nelson Mandela in the UK in 88, which Dire Straits was involved in. That was a big moment too.
Wow.
And the other big one for me was I got a call to go to Paris and play with Ray Charles. So I played with Ray Charles, his band, for one night in the basement of the Louvre.
How crazy is that?
You like you do. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, very awesome. Cool. Yeah. Terrence?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just such a late bloomer in terms of doing this kind of stuff. I've always played music, but for me, I think what we're doing now is probably beyond anything I could ever have imagined. I thought I'd be perfectly happy playing in little pubs and stuff. And then one day a phone rang and said, hello, I'm Alan Clark from Dire Straits and we're doing a charity show in London. Mark doesn't want to do it. You fancy sitting in? And I put the phone down and I said, yeah, I thought
this must be a joke.
I thought it was a joke. And he phoned back again and I looked at the number and I saw it was from England. Then I sort of heard the Geordie accent from Newcastle, where he's from. I said, are you being serious? He said, yes, you can phone me back on this number if you want and it'll be me. And so we spoke about it a bit and I said, well, what is it you want me to do? And Alan has a capacity to simplify things to a degree which are almost impractical. And he just said, well, you know, come along and think about it and then just demo, record yourself playing a couple of Dire Straits songs on an acoustic guitar.
Wow.
And
I mean, the actual playing style, how did you catch on to that quite quickly?
Well, I was quite fortunate in so much. There's a lot of things, looking back, was sort of serendipity, because where I grew up, I saw these African street finger pickers.
Yes.
And I grew up in a time when the folk rock was a lot of acoustic playing.
Yeah.
And I was sort of fascinated with it. So there was a basis to it, but there was still a lot of work I had to do, you know. And I remember during my life, people say, oh, you can get that sound. But there was just the finger playing, really.
Yeah.
But once the opportunity came, you realize how much you don't play like something.
Yes,
because then you start to fine tune it. You know?
Wow.
There's a lot of work, yeah.
I've got a lot of questions for you as well, because, I mean, you've got a lot of roots in Africa and South Africa as well.
I am African,
to that. And especially the band. I think so many people would like to know about some of the other band members that is also from local, from Plaaslike Dorpse. We're going to get to that in a little bit, in just a while after this. Maar kom ons gaan die nuus hoftrek en dan gaan ons net nou, and we also need to chat about the show of tomorrow night. We'll also give away the details of how to get those tickets. There's only a limited amount of tickets left. So if you want to go see the Dire Straits Experience tomorrow night at the Sun Arena Times Square, stay tuned. Ek gaan net hierna gaan vir jou meer info gee rondom dit.
Groot FM 90.5.
Dire Straits, a walk of life. Chris, you just said now, a lot of the guys listening to this in our age group, we're probably not even born with these songs, made it big time. We just heard it from our parents. I mean, that's where we heard the songs.
We grew up with it, but we weren't even...
People come up to you in the show and say, oh, I love Dire Straits. And you go, thanks very much. And they say, yeah, it was my dad's favourite band.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Feel slightly old.
But do you get a lot of younger folks coming to the shows now? Younger generation?
Unbelievably, you would think it would be sort of kept into one kind of an age bracket. It's not the case at all.
Wow.
And Chris has said it a couple of times, you know, I think things like YouTube have a lot to do with it. There's no linear time on YouTube. You can go to somebody from the 40s to somebody from last year and they just play next to each other.
Exactly.
And it's, yeah. And so you get to see these things as they were and nothing ages. It seems current.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrence, I want to get to this as well. I mean, you are very much familiar with the local surroundings. Tell us about that. Where were you born and how long have you been in South Africa?
I actually was born just across the border in Northern Natal because my family was from Mozambique. My father was originally from Portugal and my mother was the British side and her family had been in Africa for a while. She was born in Mozambique as well. Her parents were. And at the time, I went across, she went with me still in utero across the border to be born. So she was near her mum.
Yeah.
And so I was actually born there, but really Mozambique was home. And I lived there for the first 17 years of my life. And
wow.
And then we drifted around and lived in Malawi for a while. And I eventually went to university here and started working as an actor. So I worked here for 15 years and then sort of burnt out like a lot of silly actors are and took a sabbatical and ended up in England.
Right.
And where I started playing music.
Right.
And put a band together and...
You know. Played in pubs mostly, busking, stuff like that?
I put a band together. We just did original music. And because I was sort of taking a break, there was no plan. I promise you, it's not big or clever. I just literally took a break and that led to being spotted by Anna Clark.
How did that happen? Do you even know? Where did they spot you? Was it at a show? Or
It's such a long story. I'm afraid I'm going to take up airtime that really can't be wasted. But the long and the short of it was that Alan had got this idea to do this show when this thing came in. And Alan's one of those people, you know, I think you see a mountain and go, oh, just climb that, hold my glasses. Right. You know, he just stuck with it and wanted to find somebody.
Yeah.
And via various links and all sorts of things, it ended up because I think I was finger picking guitar player or something, or somebody heard something and they found the clip and he didn't see it, he doesn't even know it, but it would have been original music and he just heard the singing and he went, that's the voice we need.
Wow.
And at the time I wasn't booked to play at all because Phil Palmer was involved and at the time I think even Jack Sonny was part of that lineup, so they weren't looking for a guitar player at all. It's only when he asked me, can you play and can you put something down? And I just played acoustic guitar. And then when I went over for some pre-rehearsals, it was myself, Steve Ferroni, and Alan, and another keyboard player.
Right.
And Phil Palmer was there. And we were playing, and Alan said, I don't know what provoked it. He just said, I'd like to give you to give a try at playing some of these songs. And I went, I haven't played anything except original music for 10 years, you know. And he said, meh. You know, we got 3 months off because I was going to go back. He said, give it a crack. And he simplified. He said, look, we were doing a very short show. I think they're only going to be doing 9 numbers. And I only had to learn about 6 or 7 because...
Right.
And I thought, I'll give it a crack.
Yeah.
And when, by the time we came back, I just about killed myself, you know,
with
tutorials and headphones, listening to bootlegs and stuff. And that was the other thing. He said, don't copy the records, just play the song.
Yeah.
Which took me a while to get around. But I'm really glad he did, because that was a very good way in.
Yeah. So Chris, let's get round to how it all started, the Dire Straits experience. How did you decide to do that again? How did that kick off?
Well, the whole thing started with this request to do a charity event at the Albert Hall in London, which is what Terence has just been talking about. That's how he became involved. So the whole thing came together for just one show, and it was just going to be one show. Thank you very much. Good night. That went amazingly well. The thing sold out, and then the next day there were requests for, you know, could you guys come and do some more? So that rolled on for a while in the form of a band called The Straits, which then various people needed to go off and do other things. And Terence and I were approached by a promoter in Australia, a guy called Phil Bathos, who said, I'd really like you guys to come down and do some stuff down here. Can you is the band still intact? Which it wasn't. So we had 3 weeks to put a band together and get down to Australia and do a tour of, I don't know, 8 shows or something.
It's just crazy.
So we did.
Wow.
And we thought it'd be like a little full stop on it.
Yeah.
And he gave us the name. The show was going to be called The Dire Straits Experience. And he said, we can call it that. And he said, and one of the incentives was, because initially, quite rightly, Chris said to him, you know, it's an awful lot of work just to play. We'd have the cost of getting musicians together and hiring them. And he said, I'll give you the name. You can, so if it works and you ever, if you ever want to do it again, you own that.
Yeah.
So that was part payment. And we went, yeah. Like, yeah. And amazingly, the offers eventually started to come. And
no, it just, and it's snowballed ever since. And here we are.
It's now very strange. Yeah.
You just heard today that we have some shows in France. France has gone crazy.
Yes, yeah, I saw actually the dates. Yeah,
man. Well, we just the French Rolling Stone magazine has announced our next tour, which is kind of a real vote of confidence or something. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's pretty impressive.
But it is in a way an old fashioned notion. It's, you know, I hope I'm not being overly simplistic about it, in that it's kind of fan funded. There's no record company that this works because enough people buy tickets to see it. Otherwise, we.
Yeah,
that's what pays for the band.
Exactly,
people buying tickets.
Sure.
It's not a vanity project at all.
Mm. Well, we'll get around to describing a little bit more and getting into the detail and what the people can expect from tomorrow night. And there's very little tickets available. The details will be available right after this. If you've just tuned in, oh my goodness, the Dire Straits Experience. The guys are here, Chris White, Chris Whitten, and Terence Rage. Man, I'm excited for tomorrow evening, guys. I can't wait for it. What can people expect from the show? The people that's going tomorrow night?
People can expect things they're expecting to hear, I think. There are some things you always have to play if you're playing some Dire Straits stuff. So things like Telegraph Road, Private Investigations, Romeo and Juliet. What else?
Chris,
Walk of Life.
Chris and I remember what it felt like to be on stage with the actual Dire Straits. So we try and make it feel the same. So even though it's 30 years later, we still play as hard and as loud as we can and fast. So it's a real energy show, trying to recreate, not do something that's like 30 years later, try and make it like it's in the time the original tour was.
Yeah. Is it still exciting for you guys to do this song so many years, show after show, still having fun playing the same songs over and over?
Absolutely. And one of the features for me of playing with Dire Straits, and Mark in particular, was that it wasn't the same every night.
You'd
play the same songs, but they didn't do the same thing every night. Mark would go a different way, so I'd follow him, we'd do different things. Playing with Terence, the great thing is he can do that. So that's what happens every night. Things change, things are different, and I think that's one of the reasons it's still rolling on. It's kept it fresh and alive.
Yeah,
you know, it's nice that there's spontaneity where little things happen, and it is a sort of music that requires a lot of listening. It's kind of got roots in folk, where it's not like rock, where everything's in lanes. It sort of plays through things and things work against it. So it's quite theatrical.
Wow.
So that keeps you on your toes a lot.
Yeah.
You can't really to use the old expression, dial it in. You've got to be there.
Exactly. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the band. I mean, there's a lot of experience in the band as well.
There's a huge experience. Huge. Well, it's great to have Chris Whitten back with us.
Actually, you were going to ask us about the bass player. I think you haven't mentioned Yo-Yo yet.
Mm-hmm. No. I was just going to do that.
Oh, go on then.
It's great to have. So we have Terrence, who's Mozambique and South Africa. We have Yo-Yo Bass, who's another South African player who's recently come in, and he's killing it, actually.
Yeah, really good.
Really great.
Really good bass player.
And an old friend of mine from the UK, Danny Sugar, who's a phenomenal keyboard player and a producer in his own right. It's a really, really stunning. I would stand up anywhere in the world with this band, in any musical company.
Wow.
Absolutely, with no reservation.
Sure, that's going to be crazy. I cannot wait to see the guys live tomorrow night. So, kry daai kaartjies so gou as moontlik, mense. Want daar's letterlik net 'n paar. There's only limited amount of tickets available. We said earlier, only the tickets, well, the 195 rand tickets. There's only a few hundred that's left to get sold. Dit vind plaas by die Times Square, Sun Arena Times Square by Mellon Main. So, kry daai kaartjies by Compute Ticket. So, kry so gou as moontlik, mense. Dit gaan ongelooflik wees. Vir meer info, diestraitsexperience.com. Kan jy gaan loer 'n bietjie daar, maar so wat ek vir jou sê, daai kaartjies by Computicket, daar's letterlik net 'n paar kaartjies oop. Oor daai show begin om 7:30, dis môre aand by die Sun Arena by Times Square. So, dis die plek om te wees en dis waar jy gaan kry die Dire Straits Experience. Jy kan gaan kyk ook die video's, alles is op om so 'n bietjie meer te sien. Dis alles daar op die webblad direstraitsexperience.com. Sure, you guys, it's been a huge honor to meeting you guys and having a good chat. And like I said, I'll probably be the guy that's going to shout the loudest. Just check out for me. I'll be there. I'm just kind of reserved on the show today, but tomorrow it's a different thing. So really looking forward to seeing you guys. Thank you so much for coming to South Africa. Enjoy the rest of the tour that's coming up. You guys are off to France and so on. So enjoy the rest of that, but enjoy the show tomorrow.
Thanks
and
very much.
And also the rest of South Africa, what South Africa has to offer. Enjoy that.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much. All right, so hoekom sal ons dan nie? Why won't we end the show today? Well, this interview with another Dire Straits. I actually asked earlier which songs the guys, the listeners likes the most. And I must tell you, Sultans of Swing was definitely one of the songs. And then Walk of Life was the two songs. So just the hashtag, by the way. I'm sure they're going to be played tomorrow night.
No.
But let's not do that. All right, let's end the show with Dire Straits, Sultans of Swing, hier op Groot FM 90.5. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Sluddy Pod. Wees met haar tussen 3 en 6 op Groot FM 90.5.